Good morning, Crossville Church.
Good morning.
Welcome to everybody here. This is January 4th, 2026. Isn't that crazy? So who's ready to get things started again? I have a hard time, but ready or not, here we go. Choir is at 5 o'clock tonight. Good News Small Group is meeting at 6. Now tomorrow night, we've got American Heritage Girls at 6 and Trail Life for the Boys at 6:30. We have an NDI Council meeting Wednesday at 5. I will send out reminders to everybody and let you know. Our regular Wednesday night activities are at 6 o'clock, and the children are beginning a new series. It's called Bring. They will be detectives and discover clues as they work to find Paul. So be sure and bring your kids Wednesday night at 6. Momco, Thursday, January 8th at 9:30 a.m. and at 6 p.m. Men's Ministry is this Saturday, January 10th at 9 a.m. in the Family Life Center. Membership class. If you are interested in joining the church, please let one of our pastoral staff know. They're in the process of trying to set a date for that membership class. And then there are other events, lots of other events in our bulletin coming up, and coming up in the next few months. So be sure and get that. And those are emailed out each Friday. If you are not getting them, let us know so that we can make sure to get that to you. And check spam. All of a sudden, I wasn't getting my email. And I was like, they just forgot me. But no, it was hitting my junk mail. So make sure and check junk mail. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your faithfulness and giving. We do have our offering boxes in the back. Let's worship.
Stand with me as you're able. It's good to see you this morning. All of you have perfect attendance so far. So that's great. He wants his button that I talked about last week. We're going to sing an old hymn of the church and then a newer song. And then a chorus that's been around for a long time. But we're going to begin the service this morning with And Can It Be.
Die for me.
I could search for all eternity long.
I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Let's sing that as they go down.
There is none like you. Search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
I could search for all eternity long.
I could search for eternity long and find there is none like you.
I'm going to read a psalm for you, and I'm going to read it twice. First time, listen for information, and the second time, please apply. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. So now you heard it. Now I want you to apply it. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I want to speak to you this morning from Mark chapter 12. It's not on the screen. I realized that about 15 minutes ago, and I was not going to run back there and make Wayne change it. How about that? Mark chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 28 down through verse 31. Mark chapter 12. In May 2024, the church board met for a weekend to talk about our mission statement and our vision for our church. Our mission statement at that point in time was this. It was to honor God with vibrant worship, introducing people to Jesus Christ, and equipping them for holy lives and service. Now, there's nothing wrong with that statement. In fact, we have kind of moved that down just a little bit, and that's kind of the method by which we want to do our mission statement. It was just a little long to remember. So we began to talk about adopting something that was short, that could be easily remembered, and then using, as I've already said, that mission statement, the old mission statement, as a framework. Well, we began by talking about the what we do, and then we talked about the why we do what we do. And you've heard this because right after this I preached about that mission statement, and this is a different message, just so you'll know. But I want to bring, we've got a lot of new people here, and I want to bring them up to speed. I asked the board to break up into groups of two and to talk about the purpose of our church, and after a period of time we all came back together, and then we broke up in groups of four, and after we had talked about what those groups of two had come up with, and then we broke up into groups of four, and those groups talked about it, and then we all came back together, we talked about that, and then we really talked in very serious way about our mission statement and the purpose of our church, and we reduced all of this, and part of it is on the screen now, but we reduced it to loving God and loving people. And that was how we came up with our new logo, which is back there, and Wayne's going to show that to you now. Maybe. I hope. There we go. And you know, when we did that, I really thought about the fact, well, we're real original in this. Till I was going through Scottsboro, Alabama, and saw that on the sign of a church in Scottsboro. And then I began to look. I'm telling you, people have this all over the place, so it must be good. People have followed us in adopting this mission statement. No, not really. I will tell you, though, that loving God and loving people is very scriptural. If you go to Deuteronomy, I'll read it to you, and it's going to be on the screen. But if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, it says there, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's Old Testament.
You come to the New Testament, and in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus is being questioned, and he's been asked the question, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And there in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. But then you go to Mark. Now we're where you have your finger stuck. Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 28, Jesus is questioned. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, Jesus answered, is this, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, as I said a moment ago, the church board basically shortened it to those two phrases. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with the shortened statement. It is very scriptural. It's very succinct. It's very appropriate for what we should be doing as Christians. You did notice I did not say there what we should be doing as a church. Come on, smile. You know. That is our mission statement as a church. But what is the church? I'm looking at you this morning. The church is not this building. God forbid, but if everything that we have should suddenly be taken away, can I tell you what we would do the next Sunday? We would meet somewhere. Because this does not make up the church. You see, as Christians, really our mission statement has to be loving God and loving people. Well, there's one problem though. Okay? There's one problem. Really, if you get right down to it, and if you were to be honest this morning with me, you would probably say, well, Pastor, what does all that mean? I mean, it's very easy to say our mission is loving God and loving people, but those must be more than words that just fit under a logo. Amen, William. Those have to be more than words that just fit under a logo. Those words are not just a statement that easily rolls off the tongue and out of our mouth. Because when you look at those words, those are not passive words. Those are active words. They are a mission to be lived out. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to look at what that means, what it really means to love God and love people, and how to live out that mandate. And so to understand what it means to love God, you first have to understand what love is. I found out a long time ago that if we were to ask 15 people in this room for a definition of love, you would get some very similar answers. You probably wouldn't get a very good definition, though, from any of them. Our culture has reduced this word love down to only an emotion or an attraction. And in fact, if you look at a lot of television shows, and if you watch the Hallmark Channel all during Christmas, you're going to find that basically, love is some sort of mysterious feeling, you know, over which you have no control. You know, you hear people talk about falling in love. Can I tell you what that sounds like to me? That sounds like you're walking along and suddenly fall in the sewer. Or fall in something else. You know, I mean, you just, there you are. You know, can I tell you something? And here's even worse than what I've just said. You know, from there, a feeling that you have no control over, from there, love has been reduced down to some emotional fulfillment in a physical action between two people. And when the emotional attraction is gone, so is the desire for that person. There's nothing left there. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I just don't love them anymore? What they're really saying is, I'm just not attracted to them anymore. That's our culture today, you see. And if you've studied the Bible at all, you know that this cheapening, and I really want to emphasize that. If you've studied the Bible at all, you know that this cheapening of the definition of love is far from what the Bible tells us that love really is. When the Bible speaks of love, it speaks about commitment in love, doing what is best for the other person. I mean, we'll real quickly quote Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if we don't quote that, then we quote 1 Corinthians chapter 13, especially verses 4 down through 7, where Paul says love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, Paul gives us really an expanded definition of that, of what love really is. If you go to Google and you type in the word love and hit enter, you get hundreds of thousands of ideas about love. If you go to Google and you type in sermons about love, most of those sermons that would come up, they're going to talk about this word agape, which we would say is love that is committed and self-sacrificial. Now, there are those who say, well, there's really no emotion in love or in agape. I'm just going to tell you, anybody who says that to you, they have never met the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's a discussion for another time. But I've read to you this morning from the Old Testament. I've read to you from the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Israel never seemed to grasp what God was saying in Deuteronomy. I mean, and I've said this so many times since we've been in Exodus, and that was just a few months ago. You know, they saw God is out there somewhere, not as a God that was with them. But what amazes me, I mean really, what amazes me is that God was not just out there somewhere. Think about it, folks. We talked about all that God did. God was up close and was personal with them as He began to work through all the things that needed to happen in order for them to come out of Egypt. He was close. He was reaching out. But they never loved Him. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it boggles my mind. You come to the New Testament, and it's amazing to me that in two and possibly three instances, some say that the narrative about the Good Samaritan is an extension of what we have here in Matthew and Mark. But Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? Or if you go to Luke, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus tells us that loving God is the most important commandment of all. I mean, He goes on to say that on that, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, but He emphasizes that love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I mean, Jesus emphasizes that. And He says that on that, everything here hangs. Without loving God, this is of no value. That's kind of shocking, isn't it? It kind of brings us from somewhere out there and a God that is out there somewhere to hoping that we have a relationship here that's very close. So loving God must be very important. But what does it involve? What does it mean? Well, I'm going to give you, and really, I have two things this morning, but this is not, just bear with me and we're going to work through it. The first thing that you have to realize is that the only way that you and I can love God is because He loved us first. Now think about that. I mean, it's an amazing thought. If you go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, John says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. Or as a little girl in one of my Sunday school classes said, because she had never seen the word atoning, she said, as an astonishing sacrifice. She did not harm it at all by saying that. Wow. I mean, without God loving us, we couldn't have loved him. I mean, and that didn't just start in the New Testament. It started in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord has set his affection on your ancestors and loved them. And Isaiah chapter 63, verses 8 through 9. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so he became their Savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the day long. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. In the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse 1, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. God has loved from the very beginning. From the very beginning, he has loved. I mean, I won't take time to go through all the New Testament scriptures, but one that we've already talked about this morning, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his love in this while we were still sinners. Let that soak in for just a moment. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4, 7, love comes from God. 1 John 4, 19, we loved because he first loved us. Wow. You see, because we're created in the image of God, we have the capability to love. And because God loved us, we can love him despite all of our failings. He continued to love us while we were still sinners, Paul says. Israel failed multiple times, and God continued to love them. He did bring chastisement. He did bring judgment. But he continued to love them. Let me read from Hosea one more time. I read you verse 1. Let me read you down through verse 4. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, this is astonishing, folks. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burnt incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness and with ties of... You see, the only way that you and I, the only way that you and I can even love anybody else is because God has loved us. And God has loved us with an everlasting love. And the only way that you and I can love him is because he loved us. Even while we were still sinners, he loved us. I don't get it. There is no explanation for the kind of love and mercy and grace that has been extended to lost and dying people. The only way that you can explain it is that He loved you first. Wow. Old time Nazarenes would be running the aisles by now. Well, we love God because He first loved us, which leads to how do we love God? Now, please understand, we're not left without that explanation. We're not left without instruction because Jesus tells us. And I want you to get this. Jesus did not say, love the Lord your God with all your heart and stop there. Okay? Nor did He say, love the Lord your God with all your strength and stop there. What Jesus does is He involves the whole person. I mean, He really does. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So what that means, folks, is loving God is something that we do with everything that is within us. I mean, even the Old Testament, we see the involvement of the whole person. I mean, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. The Jews call this the Shema. The Jewish people across from, they made that their central creed of Judaism. The word Shema means hear. That's the first word that it starts with. I mean, that would became their creed. Like the Apostles' Creed is our creed, so to speak. That became their creed. And from ancient times all the way until today, Jews have understood that there was something very central to Judaism about that command. What's interesting is when you go through the Old Testament at least 10 different times, we're given this or some variation of it, but the phrases of with all your heart and soul is used at least 10 times throughout the Old Testament. One person said Moses used it whenever he wanted to make a point that something had to be done. Get this, that something had to be done from the inside rather than from the outside. That means if you don't get anything else this morning, I want you to get this, okay? That means that God was looking for something done by love rather than legalism. God was looking at all of this and He wanted us to love Him, not because we had to keep all the rules. God was looking for something beyond legalism. He wanted love. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, we read, the Lord will circumcise your hearts so that you may love Him with all your hearts and with all your soul and live. Can I tell you what He's referring to there? He is referring there to a spiritual act done by God that enabled Israel to love Him, removing all the hindrances from them. But they didn't allow it. You see, the heart basically is the seat of all the emotions and our passions. I mean, you know, basically all of our emotion. I'm not talking about this thing that's beating inside. I'm talking about this thing that is in us that can experience compassion and gladness and desire and give forgiveness. You see, so the heart is kind of the seat of all the emotions, and that's where Jesus begins. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. But then He says we're to love the Lord your God with all your soul. Do you know the first time that that appears in the Old Testament? And He breathed into him and he became a living being. That's where it appears. It's the very breath of God in us. That is who we are because God is with us. You see, we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all our passions. But Jesus says we're to love the Lord our God with the very inmost being that is us. Amen. Our soul. not just our emotions. I mean, you've watched me. I stand up here and some of these songs, I'm telling you, they tear me apart. And sometimes when I'm preaching, what the Word of God says, it just tears me apart. I'm an emotional person. But God wants more than just tears that flow down from a face. God wants us to love Him passionately from our heart and with everything that we have within us, our soul. You see, someone said one time that God wants all of our inner being, and they went on to explain that that was every nook and cranny in us. And Jesus talks about this. And he uses the Shema there, and he uses the word strength as part of this. And this has to do with our abilities. You move beyond feelings and emotions and to what we're able to do. Into those areas of what can be accomplished because of what He has given us and what we can do because of the talents that we have received. It's moving into an area that we're basically willing to risk everything about us. But then Jesus adds a word to it. Because Jesus adds the word mind. He says that we've got to love God with our intellect. We've moved there from just feeling and attraction to the point that we're really getting to know Him. That's where, folks, it is in that where relationship begins. I knew Susie for a whole semester and about a half a semester before I ever asked her out. It was a wonderful move on my part. I got the better end of this deal. Just let me go ahead and tell you. You know. But I really didn't know her. And even today, she will probably do something that I will go, I've never seen that before. You know? The black eye that I will receive for this, well, that will probably be it, you know. I mean, I love her with all my heart, my soul, my strength. I would die for her. But folks, it would be meaningless if I didn't know her. I think that's the reason that Paul talks about that you can give all that you've got to the poor and still not possess love, and it is worth what? Nothing. I mean, what Jesus is talking about here when He says we're to love God, He's talking about that we're to love God with everything that we have, nothing left out, nothing withheld. And this is not just an emotional attachment. This is not just a mental assent. This is using everything that we have within us in order to love the One who created us. It is a consuming relationship whereby we have sacrificed everything to know Him. What did Paul say? That I may know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings. This is not just an okie-dokie, well, I'll follow Jesus. No, folks. Loving God means that we give up everything. We hold nothing back. And if we do hold back, we really don't love Him. The Hebrew writer tells us that. Paul talks about that this kind of love goes beyond just commitment or sacrifice. He talks about that it's everything. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as what? Living sacrifices. A sacrifice loses control. They are no longer calling the shots. And we do that. We love Him because He first loved us. It's interesting. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul writes a whole book to the Ephesian church. But then you go to the book of Revelation, and there in the book of Revelation, God is speaking to the church at Ephesus. And it's interesting that they are praised. Get this, listen. They are praised for their commitment. They are praised for their obedience. But do you know what he chastises them about? That they have left their first love. That means that you and I can be committed to this body of believers, that we can do everything right, but if we don't love God, then it's worthless. God help us. You see, love involves more than just ooey-gooey toward God, because He's somehow given us all these things, and we are blessed beyond our imagination. Loving God means that you and I delight ourselves in Him. There's scripture for that. It involves experiencing His presence that brings about relationship. It means obeying Him in all the areas of our life, the external and the internal, in our actions and in our attitudes. It's in those things that you and I really come to know God and come to love God. And folks, I'm going to say this. It's not in the notes, but I feel prompted to say it. This year ought to be the year of the Word of God in your life. That's the only way you're really going to develop a relationship with Him, is in His Word. Say, Pastor, I have a clue where to start. I'm going to tell you where to start, okay? Here's where you start. You start in John. John chapter 1. When John begins to speak there in John chapter 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Every time right there in those first few verses of John, when it says Word, it's talking about Jesus, okay? So don't let that confuse you and throw you off track. Begin there. Some would tell you start in Mark. Mark is a hurry-up gospel. I mean, Mark is always on the move. That was free. It didn't cost you anything. You see, it's in all of these things that we show our love for God. It's in loving God, folks, that we can have joy that moves beyond our circumstances and situations. That is the only way you can have the kind of joy that the Bible talks about, is in loving God. Application. Loving God is more than just showing up on Sunday morning. Loving God is more than just dropping some money in the offering boxes. Loving God is more than just doing things that are churchy. Those are part of loving God. But loving God really means that we love God with everything that is within us. Our heart, our soul, our strength, our mind. Everything about us. So how do we love God? There's no separation. In loving God, there's no separation of who we are from what we do. And somehow we come up with that idea that we can do and be one thing in church, and we can do and be another thing out on the outside. Folks, no. It doesn't work that way. If we love God, then we love God all the time. Not part of the time. And we show God that we love Him by desiring Him, by desiring His Word, by desiring relationship with Him. We're obedient, not just on the external things, but on the internal things. It's more than just external actions. It's our internal attitudes. And may it never be said of us, God help us. God help us. May it never be said of us, as a church or as Christians, that like the church at Ephesus, that we were doing everything but the right thing. Did you hear that? May it never be said of us that we were doing everything but the right thing, that we possessed everything but the right thing. God help us. You say, William, I was looking forward to resolutions. Well, you got one. You got one. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, everything about you is loving God. The mission of Crossville First Church of the Nazarene, the mission of the people who attend here, is to love God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Wow. It's absolutely amazing when we read your word, how it opens up and how it really shows us that the most important thing, the thing that everything in your word hangs on, is us loving God. We can know all about you, still not love you. We can even tell people about you and still not love you. So Lord, may 2026 be the year that we begin by really loving you. The only reason we can do it, Lord, is because you loved us. So help us, Lord, that in this year that we will determine that we are going to love God above all else. Above all else. Thank you for this time that we've had together. May you bless us and go with us. And Lord, as we come back this evening for choir practice and small groups, I ask you, God, that you would speak to our heart all throughout this day. And may we love you more at the end of this day than we did at the beginning of this day. And tomorrow, Lord, if we're allowed to have it, may we love you more at the end of that day than we did at the beginning in the morning. And when we stand before you on the first Sunday of 2027, may we love you more than we did today. And God, for the good things that you're going to do in us, good things that you're going to do for us, the good things that you're going to do through us, we know that those things will come about by nothing more than your love that has been given to us, that has enabled us to be what you've called us to be. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Small groups this afternoon at 6 o'clock, and isn't that right? Yep. Also out at Peavine. And so small group here, small group at Peavine, choir practice at 5 o'clock. You're going to learn a new song tonight because I'm the one that's going to teach it to you. Aren't you glad? Bless you guys. Good to see you today.